Alright, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. Yeah, come on! This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing? Look out now. The band is back together. Nicholas is with us after a weekend in Vegas. And unlike the unwritten rule, what goes on in Vegas is coming right back to the show, kids, because we're getting it out of him one way or another. Barry's here. I'm here. Usual Suspects till 4. Glad to go along for the ride, fellas. What's up?
What's up? What's up? What's up?
What up, man? How y'all doing? How was the show last week?
We were fine.
The
we
show
were more
was
worried
amazing.
About you.
Yeah.
Better.
It was better. Let's no, I'm just kidding.
It was amazing.
No, it was
a couple notches up, but what are notches these days?
Well, you know what? The Blitz had a great show last week too.
Did they?
They did.
I mean, I heard it.
You did?
Yeah,
you?
Did they?
I heard you say Ramona Shelburne was hot.
I never said
you'd
that.
You'd hit that.
I never said that.
You came
it.
To your defense.
You hit it.
I came to your defense because
were you drunk?
Because no, I was on. I was working at that time. I was just messing with AJ, and of course, AJ ran with it.
Yeah,
and I was just.
Well,
but then it got creepy because then Fred jumped in, and was kind of like, "Well, you know," and I'm like, "You know, that's not good."
By that time, I ran to get him some water, so I don't know what Fred said at that point.
Uh huh.
No, I really. What did he say?
I think Fred put it under further review for consideration. He kind of led into, you know. And I'm like, no,
under the
don't
right
ever do
circumstances.
That.
Oh, yeah, right. Never one of those.
Yeah, don't do that.
Fred's honest. I like that. About
I
him.
Do too. Yeah. So many things to get to today.
Yes, lots.
So much sports, college, pro, football, boxing.
Was Bill O'Brien salty at the press conference? I've
baseball,
yet to watch that.
But before we'll get to all that.
We will.
This is Barry's world, Nick.
Baseball, football, boxing, we're going to get to all that. But what we have to get to first.
Yes, we do.
I got to know what happened. So I get a text. We both get
we
a
did.
Text that says, I just got groped going through security.
Oh, I totally forgot about that.
So tell us how your first sexual encounter was with a man of the law.
So I'm walking in and, you know, I do the normal, you know, take your shoes off, take your belt.
Take
you know,
my clothes off.
Take your laptop. No.
Strip search here.
Yeah, well,
okay.
Not that
and then,
part.
So you're just in regular line.
I'm in the regular okay. line. I get through the little scanner where you have to raise your arms for like 3 seconds.
Okay, let me stop you. Do you ever worry that they can see your pee-pee when you are
oh,
in that
can.
Scanner?
They, oh, can?
They can. They can.
Damn it. That's not good.
I didn't know that at all. Okay.
I would have worn looser underwear. Okay.
So I get through the little scanning part, and he stops me, and he's like, you see that screen right there? I'm like, what screen? He's like, that screen with the pair of jeans? And I see a screen. It has a pair of jeans on it, and then it has a big red circle right around the groin area. He's like, we got to pad you down. I'm like, really? He's like, yeah, we got to pad you down. Do you have your belt on? I'm like, no, you guys made me take it off before I went through the scanner. I don't have a belt. He's like, well, you have the option to.
Do you have an iron penis?
I was going to say, does the implant have any metal in it?
I was like, that's another thing I told him. I'm like, you know, I don't have no implants either. Like, there's nothing on me. He's like, well, look, I'm going to pad you down, and this is how I'm going to do. He's like, I'm going to go across 4 times around your groin area
oh,
here.
Boy.
Then I'm going to go up and down your buttocks there. And I was like, what? I was like, okay.
So, did he tell you that this was official foreplay language?
I was
keep
like,
going. This is so good.
Then he was like, all right, well, you have the opportunity for me to pad you down right here, or we can go in one of these private rooms, and I can pad you down in there. I'm like, nah, player, if you're going to violate me. We're doing this in public. Everybody's going to be witnesses. All right? So do it right here. Man, I thought he was just going to go around, but
no.
I mean, yeah.
He was grabbing some
the
stuff?
Piece.
He did the Humpty Hump?
4 times across, 4 times vertically, then turn
okay.
me around.
So
this guy's just...
Then turn you around!
Yeah, he turned me around.
He made you face the other way?
Yeah.
Was that it? And then you were on your way?
That's it. Yeah, and I was just on my
okay,
way.
Okay,
yeah,
so many it. Questions. So many questions. Let's go back. I wanted you to get it out first. Okay.
So did he, evidently.
Punk bitches.
So first question is, did they ever figure out what it was that was showing up on the scanner?
No.
Did you at any point stop and say, oh, you know what? About 4 years ago, I broke my penis. I've got 2 screws in there.
No.
No.
Never happened. Okay. Not once.
So when he offered, when he was doing the Jimmy rustling, was he making eye contact?
No.
And at any point, did you have to start going, think about my grandma, think about my grandma, don't get an erection, don't get an erection?
He wasn't
Were you worried?
Baseball.
No eye contact. He was looking right at it the whole time.
He was looking at your penis the whole time?
Was he wearing a glove?
Yeah, he was.
Okay.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, then he stuck his hand in between my boxers and my jeans and went all the way around.
What?
Yeah. Swear.
No, sir.
Swear to God.
Did he, like, credit card swipe your crack? Just
no.
to see if.
No. I was afraid he was going to ask me to take my pants off. I was like, dang, is this over?
Let's see.
I love that he offered to take you in another room. We could go in this other room if you want to keep your dignity. Yeah.
Let's Unbelievable. See, your no, ID here
true
says
story.
Nick
shit. Never happened to me ever again. I've flown internationally, domestically. I've flown all over the world.
I like that you
never
Nick
had
Shanana.
This
Nick,
issue.
Nick, that's your name, right? I'm just going to be passing through here. This isn't. You're not going to feel this at all.
See, they don't see Nick.
I love
it makes it worse.
I love that he was like, "Do you want me to steal your dignity in front of all these people, or in a room by ourselves where it's more intimate?"
What do you think?
It's like, what do you do?
Like, who answers and says, "Let's go to the private room"? Like, who says yes to that?
You know what you should have done?
Well,
you should have turned it up a notch and be like, "Oh, private room, let's do it." He would have been like, "No, we'll do it right
good.
Here." Yeah. No, you know what?
No,
go ahead, young man.
The
go
biggest
ahead.
Nightmare is going to be would
Ooh,
be
yes.
The
Are biggest, you going to be naked too?
Yeah, the bigger nightmare would be Nick's playing around and he does that and the guy goes, well, then let's go.
I can't believe they gave me the option. They're like, do you want to go to this private room? I'm like, are you guys serious right now?
Will there be soft music and candlelight?
I didn't ask him that question, Barry. That wasn't one of my questions.
It would have been great if he'd been like, yeah, because I got a bomb in my pants. That's it, sir. Get on the ground. Thoughts you'd never ask. I could just see Nick just turning it up to like 12. Oh, God.
Nah, I was terrified. But on the way
that's
back,
the way we like to fluff.
On the way back, I was telling AJ, I'm like, I'm legit concerned right now. He's like, why? I was like, I'm just after what happened in Houston, I don't even want to. He's like, just say you're with me. And I'm like, you're right. I got to go in the white privilege lane and just get right through this freaking security clearance because I guarantee you, if I'm with you, nothing's going to happen.
Well, they obviously saw, because I just asked, can they see your on through that? Scanner
I mean,
thing.
I didn't see it.
Obviously, they thought you were packing some heat and wanted to check it out.
I don't know.
Good for you, bud.
I don't know.
Yeah.
But it happened.
That's a good start to a weekend.
Did you see, by the way, in the Vegas airport that one of these chicks that's one of the professional poker players tweeted out that they had to shut down the entire restroom at the Vegas airport because two chicks that were hammered
the same time.
Both threw up and then both passed out in the restroom.
That is a party.
That's not a shocker in Vegas.
Jeez.
That is a legit
the
party.
The gambling and the alcohol definitely continues in the airport in Vegas. So.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the slot machines are there and everything
In
else.
Fact, I'm heading to Portland next month, and I think I have a layover in Vegas depending on the flight I book, and there might be some...
PDX?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a great city.
I'm headed up there 18th through the 22nd.
Man, Portland's a great city. Love
you. You're going to have to give me some tips.
Yep. Portland's a great city.
Awesome.
That'll be a lot of fun.
So what else went down?
Nick got to see the fight.
He got in his own fights. Apparently, you got punched in the face several times.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that guy, he didn't mean it, but even after I told him to stop, he kept throwing. He had these Triple G t-shirts, and he was just looking at people in the crowd for people who were chanting Triple G because he wasn't going to give you a Triple G t-shirt if you're a Canelo friend or
right.
Root. So he was like, Triple G, just yelling at the... at the stand, and then every time he threw a t-shirt, the back of his hand would hit my head. I'm like, bro.
Is this the... before you get to that, I was like, is this the security guy again, or is this
No,
the
this
guy
isn't a security
t-shirt.
Guy. This is just some... I don't even know how he got into the weigh-in,
every
to be honest with you.
Every time he went for the towel, he hit my head.
He might have been just a fan, but he had a Triple G cap on, and he had a bunch of Triple G t-shirts, and he was throwing
Well, I was
it.
Legitimately concerned
on,
for
this
you.
This was on stage?
This is not on stage. This is... on the floor where the media people are at the weigh-in. So it's hard for me to explain what
okay.
part of the...
Yeah.
It's
there's
in
like
T-Mobile
a
Arena.
There's like a little bullpen area, I'm
yeah.
guessing. What the hell is a dude passing out t-shirts in the non-biased media section?
I think
section
there was a lot of people that were not supposed to be there that were there.
Oh.
And I felt like the buzz kind of fell off. I don't know what you guys felt like leading up to the fight, but didn't it feel like the buzz?
It did. Yep, I agree.
And there was more availability for media. I was able to actually get a credential and go to the fight when initially I wasn't supposed
to. That was awesome.
Shout out to Fred Fowler for allowing me to do that.
Glad you were in. But at real the same MVP. Time, yep. Once you started tweeting about you getting hit in the face, I was like, dude, you all right? Because first I asked, was it a fist, a hand, or the towel? And yeah. When you said the hand, I'm like.
It made sense. After I sent out that tweet, I'm like, I see why he asked that question.
And then you sent me the picture of the dude. I was like, oh, I don't know if I could.
I mean, I'm not going to argue. Back. I'm not going to argue with anybody because that's like the media area.
Right.
You know what I mean? You know, if the worst case scenario is I'm going to, you know, probably tell somebody. But he did it like two or maybe three times and then he stopped. I just walked away. But look, you're in Vegas. Why be angry?
Right?
You're watching a Triple G fight with, yeah. You know, Triple G Canelo fight, which is at the time the biggest fight, you know, in boxing. I saw a little Mayweather announcement, which is a discussion for another time. But I'm just saying it's, you know, it was fun. I was in Vegas. I'm not angry. I'm not angry when I'm in Vegas. So
good, man. So you had a good time?
Great time.
did you visit the Bunny Ranch?
I did not.
No?
Came, did, not. Did you have
how many of the flyers on the street did you tuck into your pocket and hang on to?
Did not.
None?
None. I barely left the strip, man.
Really?
Yeah.
You have your phone?
I did. Almost lost it at T-Mobile Arena, but recovered.
Progress. Okay, good.
What else happened? Anything wild?
Yeah, that's.
We got to get to it at the next segment.
Not really.
Why?
We got a lot of texts.
No, I want to get to it at the next segment. I want to find out what happened. Because you know AJ is going to spill the beans if you don't. We might as well do it on our show.
Well, if AJ spills the beans about me like doing anything, then I'll just respond the following day.
I don't even know what he's going to say. Dude, do you know how ratings work? If all the good stories, if you let them have them, we're screwed.
And me getting violated at the airport wasn't good enough for you?
That's great, but I want the rest. I want Paul Harvey. I want the rest of the story.
Yeah, we want in Vegas. That was just on your way.
That was just the foreplay. No pun intended.
Yeah.
I want the sex now. Give me I want the rest of the stories in the next segment. Yes.
Barry's living vicariously through you right now.
You know I would come in here and tell you that. Don't you hold back on this show. When have we ever done that? When have we ever not told everything that's
true?
That's
I'm not holding back.
Okay,
if you ask, I will answer.
You're going to tell.
I would be careful with that statement, my friend.
Is that a fact?
Yeah.
Okay.
Ask.
Perfect.
All right.
Will you answer honestly?
Text AJ and find out what to ask.
All right. Hey, you heard us. We're just getting started. HRP listener line. It's open. 713-780-3776. You can call or text that number. You can also reach out and touch us via Twitter. Where it's at the producer Nick, at Pac-Man Joel with a K, and at Barry is funny. Usual suspects, just getting going. Thanks for taking us along on the ride. ESPN 97.5.
Check it. I see your dirty face.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, what do you know? It's Monday and we got a show. We continue to roll on with The Usual Suspects. Second segment is upon us. Nick is back from Vegas. Saw a great fight. Not sure about the actual decision. Barry's here. I'm here. And we're looking forward to another great week on The Usual Suspects. And it's only great because you guys are along for the ride and participate, which we always appreciate.
Yeah, and I promise we're going to get to all the sports because there's a ton to talk about. Yep. Plenty. But I want to wrap this up with Nick because I have so many questions about your trip. You said you're not going to tell us anything, but if I ask, you'll answer.
True.
First question. Fact. Did you get a whore?
Negative.
Okay. That's a good.
Were plenty. they were all over the place.
Yes. Woo,
they were all over the place.
Now, did you get propositioned by anyone?
Absolutely.
Really?
Yeah. They were all over the place.
At the bars? Or
aside from the security guy, did you get propositioned by anybody?
Yeah, yeah great
I was
point.
Like, you look a little bit better than the security guy in Houston.
Hands not as soft, however. okay. So, no hooers. You didn't go to the Bunny Ranch.
Did not.
Did you win any money gambling?
No, I came home down $175.
Really?
Yeah, I gambled more on this trip. No. I gambled more on this trip than I ever have going to any of my Vegas trips.
Was that because of Fred and AJ's influence on you?
Because AJ knows what the hell. Fred and AJ know what the hell they're doing.
Of course they do.
It's insane. I've never seen, like, both times I've been to Vegas, the last two times, AJ won a poker tournament. Both times.
And he won this time?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Good for him. So, yeah. So what did they have you doing? Were you in a tournament or did you just do like blackjack or did you play?
We did one poker tournament all together and then they did a couple more by themselves. I just couldn't make it because I was producing.
Is that what we're calling it?
And I did
producing.
Well, they would go to like 10 a.m. poker tournaments. Wow. And I had another show to produce in the morning. But the blackjack, we played a lot of.
Okay.
I played this like zap it version that AJ really liked.
What the hell?
Where you like, you have an opportunity to like zap your cards if it's a 15, 16, 17, or an 18 and get a whole new set of cards.
Really?
Yeah.
That's wild.
And that was fun. Yeah. I mean, gambled. I gambled a lot.
Any slots? Did you play slots? I know I already asked about the other. Slots?
No, I'm not.
I don't like slots.
I was going to say, is that a code name?
Why is that fun, though? Like, you just push the button over and over again.
I don't know why.
Yeah, I got friends that play it religiously for hours on end.
I can't do that.
And they have friends. They've won big. Like, one of my buddies won, like, the major, massive slot deal where he won, like, ungodly millions of dollars at a casino.
That's crazy, man. I don't know that I trust it because it's a machine and they can program it.
That's how I feel. That's how I feel. I'm not smart.
Even with video poker, I feel like that it could be. You know, I'm sure it's on the up and up. But
and you know,
they got a lot of money.
What's worse is the new trend is they're trying to get rid of the dealer. They want a digital blackjack dealer to where you just come up to the blackjack table and everything is played digital. So it's going to get to the point where the dealer's weeded out. I think.
Yeah, I don't like that.
I don't like it either. Because if you think about it, with slots, whether you're playing the penny slots or this guy was playing like. I want to say, I don't know if it was the $100 slots or whatever, but it's like, if you're throwing a hundo at a machine that can be programmed, come on, anything that's digital and has machine parts can be altered, and you don't have the trust of, you know, opening up a deck of cards and making sure it's a fresh deck and do it, and the dealer just take cards. I'm not throwing a hundred every time I pull the arm down on a slot machine and feeling comfortable that that's legit and straight up.
Nope, because I've been around computers.
You haven't gambled in a while, Joel, because there's no arm slot machines anymore.
No, you press the button now, but same difference, right?
But yeah.
Okay, so no whores.
Negative.
How many days were you sober? I'll make it easier. Instead of asking how much, I was only
sober, honestly, during the morning and early afternoon, and that's it.
Okay.
After that, I'd go and drink. I'm being honest with you.
So essentially, it was just like being at home.
Yeah, except a lot more. But alcohol is everywhere. You're taking the beer from the casino. You're walking outside. Yeah. You're walking into it with the next casino. You've got a glass of whiskey and Red Bull that you got from New York, but you're walking into it with MGM.
That's a completely different dynamic.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
Now, at any point, were you close to getting arrested?
No.
Okay. Dang it.
No.
Not even with that toolbox hit you the third time.
I'm telling you, I had a credential. I wasn't. All right.
Smart move.
Did you partake in the devil's lettuce?
Yeah, I did.
Did you?
I told you I wasn't going to lie to you.
It's legal there, right?
It is, and apparently they don't understand the rules because you're not supposed to.
Who doesn't understand?
Or they don't care.
Oh, that's probably
Vegas locals are smoking on the strip. They are, and you're not supposed to. You're supposed to do it like at your own house.
Right, right. I've heard that.
They're smoking on the strip. They're smoking like, you know, right outside the casinos.
But who's enforcing that, really?
No one's really enforcing it.
Yeah.
And I'm definitely not going to be a guy.
So is it legal there where you can buy it at a dispensary or is it medical where you have
legal.
To have a doctor's script first?
Yeah, so I'll give you the name of the spot. It's called Essence Cannabis Dispensary.
Okay.
It's about 2 miles off the strip on East Tropicana.
I bet the line is out the door.
It was not.
Oh, wow.
I went there. I got there at about 10:30 at night.
Okay.
And there was two lines, one for medical, one for recreational.
Wow.
They asked for your Texas driver's license. They
scanned. How long was the line for the medical?
There was literally six or seven people in front of me total, and it took literally 2 minutes to process all those people.
And they were recreational.
It was a mix of medical and
I thought there was two different lines.
Two different lines, but they were both.
Oh, it split?
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Exactly.
So how many people were getting the medical?
I didn't even notice because you can't hear what they're saying. They're going up to a window that's
got a plexiglass. So it was all combined. Okay.
Right.
All right.
Right. So they're like medical or recreational. You tell them recreational. You give them your driver's license. That's in one room. Once you get processed, once they scan your license, you open the door and it takes you to the next room. And that basically, it's, you know, like there's glass cases, there's strains on the wall.
There's digital
menus.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the menus are on TVs.
You mean like the number three supersized?
Not like that, but yeah.
Like, I'm like number three, supersized, hold the seeds.
Extra fries.
Yeah.
Fried Coke.
So it's all in a, like, who cares what it looks like? I don't know. I guess I don't know enough about weed. Do you care? Do you need it in a glass case to be able to see it?
I wasn't there for smoking purposes. I was there for edibles because I've never had edibles.
I was going to ask you, do you prefer the smoking or do you prefer where you don't
have to go through all that? If I was in Vegas, I would never put smoke in my lungs ever again.
Wow. Okay.
Because the edibles were just that much effective.
Better. Really?
I bought some Rice Krispie treats that had 10 doses in them. They pre-sliced it into 10 little small pieces.
Nice.
Ate one, 30 minutes.
30 minutes?
Yep. Not an hour and a half like gummies. Nope. 30 minutes.
Yeah, I was going to say, I kind of felt like in L.A., when this Austin chick gave me a gummy, it did nothing.
Yeah, they're not as potent, for sure.
It sucked.
Yeah, the gummies that I bought, they were 3 for $10. They came in a pack, 3 of them for $10, I got.
Did you do those and they were just me?
They were nothing like the Rice Krispie treats. I would never even buy gummies if I went back.
Okay.
You go out at all?
Hey, by the way, did you bring back any snacks?
No, I didn't. After what happened in Houston, there was no way.
I was going to say, that would be too scary to travel with that.
There was no way.
So this is just a Rice Krispie treat, huh, young man? Yeah, just a Rice Krispie treat. That's it.
Of course, when you opened up that Rice Krispie treat.
It smelled like weed.
My God, it smelled so strong.
Really?
Yeah, and you can taste it. It didn't taste incredibly bad, but you can definitely taste it.
Wow. Well, maybe that's why it's more effective than them whack-ass gummies I got.
I was going to bring some and slip it in y'all's food. No. See if y'all could do a show.
Okay. Oh.
But I didn't want to get in trouble.
Sit by the dump button if you did that.
Did you go out at all?
A little bit. I mean, we went to
strip club?
Bars, no.
Damn
it. I did want to go to Sapphire because that's known to be like the best strip club / club.
Okay.
Club scene good?
I didn't really go. The only club I went to was... The one inside Mandalay Bay. I don't even remember the name of it.
But, did you, what else is there? Did you go catch any shows or anything?
No.
Just bottle
alcohol.
We told you the pool parties are pretty good.
The pool party. I didn't even think about that. I didn't even think about the pool parties.
You know, friend AJ getting in a bathing suit and going to the pool. You could have totally done that.
Yeah.
Left them behind.
Yeah. Of course. Man. Of course, when I give one to AJ at the airport, we're leaving. We're on the way back to Houston, and it hits him like it just uppercuts him in the face, like
really?
Way more than me. You know what I mean? And then he's standing in line. We're about to board, and there's like this kind of a hot chick standing right next to us, and he's like, "I just wish every time I was high, there was a Cinnabon right next to me, right?" And everybody started, like, two or three people around us start laughing, and he just did not care, and I just cracked up.
That's
about
great.
It. But it was fun.
He just lost it all, huh? I like it.
It was fun.
That's good.
I do not regret that trip at all.
No, it sounds like it was fun. It looked like you guys had a good time.
Yep.
Got to catch up with Mike Pearson.
Nice.
I saw the
former
picture.
Executive producer. Yeah. Which that was, he's a guy that's done a lot for me in this business, so it was cool to see him from ESPN LA.
Excellent. Well, good, man.
Yeah.
Glad you're back safe.
Fred and AJ's brother, too, so that was cool. I mean, it was fun.
Very good.
Good deal. Nick's back. Glad you are, too. So if you want to get something off your chest, you've had on your mind, maybe some of those bad calls in the NFL, or maybe your college team won or lost, or maybe even you want to talk about the Astros. Whatever's on your mind, we're game for. We've got plenty to get to and a lot of time on our hands. So come on in and join the fray. HRP listener line, 713-780-3776. Call, text, hit us on Twitter. Back with more. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, just getting started. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Nick back from Vegas after he covered the big fight. And Barry and I are present and accounted for. Lots to get to. Obviously, Texans,
yep.
Astros, college football.
I got some stuff.
The fight.
I got some stuff that'll lead us into that. Let's get a couple of the listeners have a couple questions for you, Nick. and then we'll get into these questions that they have about the Texans and football and so forth. First question somebody said was, what was the name of the dispensary that you went to?
Essence. What did I say?
I don't know.
Essence Cannabis Dispensary.
There you go.
2 miles off the strip on Tropical.
They're going to be a new sponsor to the show.
I would love for them to sponsor me if it was cool and to do that in Texas, man.
But. According to AJ, he said he was going to get Nick pregnant. Is Nick now pregnant? Are you pregnant?
AJ was trying to get pregnant. Shoot. That's what he kept saying.
Trying to get pregnant?
Yeah, he's like, I'm going to get pregnant this week. I'm like, okay. You do that, bro.
Have fun. Also, just so we can be clear about this to all the listeners, the peanut butter joke is old. Let's move on. There was like 9 peanut butter texts. One, I need you guys to be more original. Two, like let's not beat a dead horse here. That's we've moved on past peanut butter jokes. Okay? I'm not reading those anymore.
I got a couple of them on Twitter. I figured it was natural.
You know, it's one of those things where it's fun for a while, but some folks will just run it into the ground to where it's not funny anymore.
Yeah, I mean, I know people feel that attachment to us and all that, but there's plenty of ways to do that, and you're right. That's run its course pretty well.
All right, couple of notes from yesterday. Titan Hugo said, I told you guys, Titans will cruise to victory with Gabbert leading the way. All right. First of all, Titan Hugo, you did call it.
Yep.
Cruise to victory? I don't necessarily think I would call it cruising to victory. In fact, Blaine Gabbert did zilch in this game. Be thankful that there was some creativity on the part of the Titans' special teams.
That was a big play.
And that Fairbairn missed a field goal.
And that guys that aren't in uniform decided to make themselves a part of the game by getting involved and getting penalties by being on the field.
Yeah, yeah. I wouldn't exactly say, I mean, you were half right. The Titans won. Blaine Gabbert had very little, if anything at all, to do with that. The dude had 117 yards of passing. 13 of 20 for 107. Let's not say that he cruised to the victory there. So we'll just start with that. But thoughts on the game?
I mean, I got more questions than answers like everybody else. I don't think that, you know what, the trying to get down there for the field goal, to let all that time go off, you got to believe. Again, I go back to Bill O'Brien, and I just go back to the fact that in a lot of things, the things that kept just sticking in my craw were things like, look, Bill, if you really want to be a good head coach or you want to improve, it's about time. Just give up the play calling and supervise the things that need to be supervised, where you need decisions to be made. You need replays to be reviewed. You need to know when to throw the challenge flag. You need to manage your timeouts. But trying to do it all starts to get a little old for me, because you know that the one thing that you should be saying to Deshaun Watson late in the game is, look, man, you know where we're at with the time, with the clock. We can't afford to be doing this kind of thing. We got to get in, get out quickly, because we're going to try and get a field goal to tie this game. Things like that. That kind of stuff bothered me. I didn't see Deshaun Watson having, I think it was either the second best or best yardage game of his career. He just didn't knock my socks off with the way he played. The one pick was really bad. But overall, I thought he played better. But when you look at a team that didn't have their starting quarterback or their two starting tackles, and you got no pressure on the quarterback, and you did nothing to put the ball and force the ball into Gabbert's hands to make plays, very disappointing to me.
Yeah, I mean, to your point, I thought their O-line held up pretty well. Yep. Texans only had one sack the whole game. I mean, it seemed like Watt was in the backfield a lot. Don't be fooled by that. A lot of that was running plays. They ran either at him or on the opposite side of where he lined up. So.
Or it opened up a hole by letting him sprint in.
So don't be fooled by that. All right, so some of my observations that I made notes on during the game. First of all, obviously very sloppy first half by the Texans. Sloppy game overall by this team. Yep. But the amount of penalties that they had that killed drives or stalled out their momentum, even like you mentioned, Clowney on the sidelines getting a 15-yard penalty, just uncalled for. That's stuff that you can that can be fixed and needs to be fixed. That was pretty frustrating just to watch that alone. You had a ton of missed tackles by the Texans defense as well. I mean, on the one court, I know Corey Davis is a big boy, but let's be real. You got to be able to tackle that cat, especially if you're a safety. And I was really high on Reed, but he whiffed on one that was just a bad. Him and I forget who it was. It was one of the corners, Joseph or something. They both whiffed on that touchdown by Davis. Ugly tackling. Yep. The Titans defense, the front seven held up better than I thought it would. I mean, that's not saying much against that Texans offensive line, but the secondary I thought struggled a little bit. Will Fuller, as much as we talked about, you know, his hands, dude, he showed up.
Yeah, he played
a game.
Will Fuller came to play.
Yep.
And Deshaun Watson found him. And speaking of Deshaun Watson, this was one of the biggest takeaways for me from this game. And this may, you know, you may disagree, you may agree, but the very first thought that I had in my head about halfway through, after watching Deshaun Watson either run for his life or be sacked, mm-hmm. or be hit or be knocked down, is this literally looks like every game I ever watched David Carr play in. And I'm not suggesting that Deshaun Watson is as bad as David Carr. What I'm saying is that Deshaun Watson has as much help on that offensive line as David Carr did. Remember what this did to David Carr.
Yep.
Having a crappy offensive line ruined that dude. Now, I'm not saying he would have ever been good or great, but he got so gun-shy.
Yep.
He was so scared to sit in the pocket. The Texans, if this happens to Deshaun Watson where he's always running and you start to hear people say, oh, well, he should have stayed in the pocket longer. Listen, don't blame Deshaun Watson. Blame the offensive line and blame the Texans for not going out and getting him better help when they had the opportunity to do so. So go ahead and mark that down right now, because by week 16 or 17, if you're saying, well, he doesn't stay in the pocket at all, he just takes off running, they have no one to blame but themselves and the GM. Well,
and been there, done that, and when he did that, look what happened.
Yeah. Yeah, he found when he had time, he could find Will Fuller. I did think the interception was one of those just throwing it up and expecting Deshaun Watson DeAndre Hopkins to go and get it, and he didn't go and get it. And last year, he got bailed out on some of those throws, and it made him look good.
But what I'm saying is, too, been there, done that, is he did once what people are wanting him to do, and he got hurt doing it.
Yep.
Because of how crappy that offensive line is, he won't do it again.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not trying to be it was a bad game, but a couple of the bright spots was obviously Will Fuller and the fact that I think J.J. Watt's healthy. Yeah. He looked healthy. He looked
good. Didn't he have like 6 or 8 tackles? I mean, it wasn't a terrible game for J.J., was it?
No, I'm saying that was a bright spot. Yeah, he looked good. He looked healthy.
He was crotchety as hell.
I know everybody wants to see a big sack from him and everything, but right now a lot of teams are doubling up on him. So he's given the opportunity to some of the other people on that line, and I think his time will come eventually. And as long as he stays healthy, he looks like a J.J. Watt that people are scared of.
He was super salty after the game.
Was he?
Yeah.
Well, they lost. I did think the offensive line played a little bit better in the second half. It looked like they were able to run the ball a little bit better. So credit where credit's due in that regard. Mm-hmm. They did open up some holes for Lamar Miller and Blue as well.
Yeah, Blue didn't look bad, I was going to say.
Other things that I wrote down, Watson and ball security. He had 2 fumbles. Didn't lose either of them. But that dude's got to start taking care of the ball a little bit better. And we talked about the forced interception. Those were completed last year. And on the last play of the game, that was pretty frustrating because you see him running around and you think, just get upfield and get out of bounds.
Yep.
Get up and slide, spike the ball, whatever you got to do.
He had lanes, too. He had escape routes.
He did. But I think it proves that, you know, he's still young. And we've expected him to be this upper echelon quarterback in – he's only playing in 7 or 8 games as a quarterback in the NFL. So he's going to learn from it. He's going to get better, and you just hope that. But I don't know what you're thinking at the end there when you waste all that time.
That's what I'm saying. And coaching has to play into this at some point because, look, he's been in big enough games at Clemson, too, where he knows about clock management. But sometimes when you are really enthralled and deeply in tune with what's going on the field, that's when a coach, just like in basketball, when a coach says you got 2 timeouts left or you got a 20 left,
mm-hmm.
you know, someone's got to get in his ear and go, now you do, this is what we're at with timeouts.
6 seconds, get it out of your hand.
You got to get it out of it quick. You can't be sitting there blowing time right now because we need every second we can get to get in, you know, possible to get a field goal. That's the kind of thing that bothers me, and that's why I'm saying, too, for everybody that's clamoring for Bill O'Brien to be fired, he just signed the extension, people.
Yeah.
They're not going to give free money for another 4 years. So basically, he's going to be around. So if he's going to be around, this clown show of it's not my job, and then I don't know, and then, well, we were this and we were that, it's getting to the point where it's getting old, and if you're going to take on 2 responsibilities and it's been going like this, it's time that you give up one so that maybe we can manage the overall a little better in terms of the clock management, the game management, the challenge, all of that.
Did you notice towards the end of the first half, he was just calling timeouts willy-nilly?
Yeah.
Trying to stop the clock and save 12 seconds. Because he's like, look, I can use my timeouts, guys. I know how to use them. See, I told you. It didn't matter. It was
he wastes
kind of pointless.
That when he spends 20 seconds calling a play in a certain situation, yeah, and then running a draw to the middle of the line. I mean, that's what I'm saying. Maybe for Deshaun's development, off of your great point, and maybe for the standpoint of managing the game and the time a little better, you get an offensive coordinator that is solely focused on making this offense click, getting Deshaun in the right positions to succeed, and letting Bill worry about the overall decision.
I tell you what, it was an ugly game, a game that they could have won, probably should have won. We just got through praising them last week on how well special teams played. And again, I thought they played pretty well outside of the touchdown, but that was the
deciding. That's what everybody's going to remember.
That was the deciding factor in the game, and I don't know how you let that happen. How do you leave a guy wide open as a gunner and not even account for that dude?
Like, at least guy stick him at the line to slow him up.
Yeah, it baffled me. And on the broadcast, they even said, I think they were expecting this because they probably had this drawn up where they knew they would line up like this on a punt, punt protection, and look what happened. So there's not a lot of positives outside of, I think, Will Fuller is back, and he's going to be critical to this offense going forward. J.J. Watt looks healthy. Because, man, going down 0-2 and losing a division game already and being down 0-2 in this division, that's tough.
Numbers aren't in their favor for making the playoffs starting
0-2. And Jacksonville beating the Patriots let you know the Jags are for real.
Bortles thumped. That's the one thing that we kept going
Tom
to.
Brady?
Thumped them. Yep.
How? What? What?
Yep.
Yeah. Well, we got plenty more to get to, but
lots to get to, and you guys can chime in, too, as we continue to carry on the dialogue. 713-780-3776, HR&P Listener Line, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back on The Usual Suspects, hour number one, 3-hour show. Sometimes things are said during breaks.
Thankfully, I didn't turn your mic on.
Yeah, they just catch it.
I had the mute button.
Oh, you did?
I had the cough button pushed down.
You're a professional.
I know what I'm doing over here.
Don't pat his stats. Jeez.
Oh, gee, thanks.
Slow down, will you?
I thought he could hear the facetiousness in my tone.
Oh, both of y'all. I was going to say something really mean and probably would have gotten a letter from someone, so I'm glad I didn't. But yeah, it's good to have you back, Nick.
Yep.
Way to filter yourself, sir.
Yeah, thanks. You want to take Tim's call right away?
Sure. Get that over with?
Yeah, he wants to. I'm guessing, Tim, are you a little angry right now?
Well, I'm not anger. I'm just disappointed in the Texans. They always do the same thing over and over. Every year it's the same thing, same story. And we need to start thinking about the future, and it might be time to start trading away assets to build for the future.
All right. Who are you suggesting they trade away?
That has value.
What's that?
Who are you going to trade that has value?
I think we ought to think about doing right by J.J. Watt and letting him go back home to Wisconsin.
Well, the people of Wisconsin have to want him with open arms. I mean, and they got to have a hell of a spot in salary cap. Their biggest problems are not on the defensive line. So that would be one where if you do a Josh Gordon and you cut him, I would think Green Bay would kick the tires. But I don't think there's no way they're trading for him.
Well, Maybe for some draft picks or some people off of their team or something. But we got to build this offensive line because, man, he's going to get folded up and we're going to have another RG3.
Mm. God, don't say that.
No, I think, Barry, you hit right on the head. I appreciate the call, Tim. I really do. I think that this has all the makings of ruining a really special, talented quarterback if it continues to go this way, because it almost seems worse than his first go-round, when at least with his movement in and out of the pocket, he had bought enough time to where you could make that line look serviceable.
Yep.
They really don't look serviceable this time around. He looks like when he realizes his first read isn't there, he is completely in panic mode because he knows they're coming quickly and no one's getting in their way.
Yeah, I mean, he doesn't. He's starting to. I felt like David Carr had the yips.
I know he did.
It had the feeling. I'm not saying he's there yet. What I loved, though, what I did love, is that after, I think, the first sack, he got knocked on his ass. And I don't even know if it was a sack. I don't remember if it was a sack or just a knockdown. No, it was a sack. It was the first sack. And he looks at, I want to say it was the guard, left guard, that missed the block. But he's based the rookie, and he's just like, he throws his hand in the air, like, what the hell are you doing? Like, it was completely whiffed on the block. Like, did not even touch the guy. Didn't even push him off his route. None of that. And I like that. And it happened later when the left tackle whiffed on or went inside instead of outside. And again, Deshaun says something to him afterwards, like, dude, what are you doing? I like that he's holding his offensive line accountable. I do like that.
And he's
getting on them, those guys.
He's like, grown into that.
He's grown into more of a leadership role
to where at first he was just happy to be there, be the starting quarterback. You know, hey, these things are going to happen. And now I agree with you. I like the fact that he's going to point it out and go, you know what? You can't keep doing that, and I'm going to get killed because of your mistake. You're not paying the price like I'm going to if they run by me.
Yeah, it was Fulton that missed the left guard that missed the first block on the sack, and then it was Rankin, the left tackle, that missed the second.
I think Ryan Griffin missed the block, too, and they were able to get to Deshaun Watson.
Oh, yeah. Tons of missed blocks.
And here's the thing you were talking about with Carr. I know for a fact, I know people that were in meetings with him and were in on the offensive side of the ball with him. They said at a certain point they didn't even go or even bother with audible meetings anymore because they knew after the first read wasn't there, if he got to three in his head or less, he was either just chucking it out of bounds or he was bailing and running for the hills because he had been hit too many times too quickly. You can't afford to do that with this kid.
Yeah.
Because as a quarterback, if he does have any amount of time at all, he's proven he's not David Carr. It's not just about having a really great long ball. It's about he can get out when he has to get out. He can read what he has to read. He can check down when he checks down. He's got all the skill set, and you don't want to ruin this kid because of a very, very subpar offensive line.
Well, we're going to find out how serious the Texans are going forward because there's a couple of dudes that are free agents next year that they're going to have to look at getting added to this team. Massey out of Chicago, left tackle. Because I wanted to see who's Jared Verdier, Denver left tackle, Bobby Massey, Chicago left tackle. A couple of guys that I think improve the offensive line immediately. Let's see if they go out and add a guard or a tackle or do something to bolster this offensive line because you can't just keep adding, oh, we got to get faster. No, you got to get better up front. You've got a franchise quarterback. You better get better up front.
But like Lance said, it's very rare that a team, because they're so hard to find, that when a team gets a good offensive lineman and he becomes a free agent, they lock him up because they know, unless you're talking about the guy from the Patriots that went to the Giants, is it Solder? Nate Solder, who looked awful last night. You know, unless they're on the downside and they're just trying to cash in at the end of their career, if you get a premier offensive lineman that is on top of his game, teams aren't stupid. They're going to lock that player up. So it's going to be tougher and tougher for them other than the draft and developing, which they haven't been able to do so far, i.e. Xavier Suofilo and others, that you have to try and find ways. But it's just those guys that you just mentioned, I just feel like are going to be locked up before they even hit the market.
I don't know, because a couple of guys moved just in the tackle position. You had Solder, you had Chris Hubbard, Andre Smith changed teams, Austin Howard. I mean, there were some guys that moved. So I think the opportunities are there. You just have to get serious about it, and it may mean having to get rid of a guy on the other side of the ball that maybe you like to hang on to, but you can't afford to. And you have to decide, do we want to continue to go cheap on the offensive line and not protect our franchise quarterback, or do you maybe give up on a Clowney or a J.J. Watt in exchange for a solidifying the left tackle position?
Well, you're not going to cut J.J.
No, you're not.
And McNair's not because of the overall.
But saying Clowney, you've got to have to make some tough decisions.
Here's a guy that's been out there saying in the same draft class, I want to get paid like Khalil Mack. I want to get paid like Aaron Donald. Well, then you got to start playing like him. And if you're not going to play like him, there are others waiting in the wings that can at least be serviceable enough that they can do exactly what you want them to do and use that money elsewhere. Because right now, it's just, to me, they're absolute idiots if they think about paying him anywhere close to a massive deal.
Yeah, I just feel like they have to make that decision. I'm not suggesting that they get rid of Clowney. I'm not suggesting they get rid of J.J. Watt. What I'm saying is you have to look at some of these positions where people are already getting paid and consider moving them or moving on from them. Or guys that are coming up on getting paid and considering not doing that and using that money to protect your quarterback. That's just a decision that I think they have to make.
But I think about between the two of them, I just think that it's an easy choice right now because the ungodly amounts of money that Khalil Mack and Aaron Donald got were because they earned them.
Yeah.
And they earned them over time and they didn't miss games. And they were, you know, as much as the stats were there, so was the ability to have longevity and play in almost every game. You're not seeing that from Clowney. We saw glimpses of what he could do, but to me, it's an easy choice if the Texans have to go that route.
Yeah. Well, so. Somebody said yesterday during the game, Blaine Gabbert, double forward pass. Did they call that correct or were the Texans supposed to get the penalty and lost down? No, the officials got it right. A double forward pass is a 5-yard penalty. It's not a spot foul and loss of down like Bill O'Brien wanted it to be and argued that it was. That's not the case at all. The referees got it right.
I think he kind of knew, though. He kind of knew.
He was just lobbying to trick him.
That's what I think Bill O'Brien was.
Really?
I really actually give him credit there okay. on that one.
You think he was just trying to fool one of them and if they didn't know the rule book?
Or he could have been. It could have been like ignorance is bliss. Like it could have been a situation where maybe he didn't know, but he was just trying to.
Or in the Texans' case, ignorance is this every single week. Yeah. What Bill O'Brien
that's
does.
True, but
that's a great thing.
Yeah.
Ignorance is this.
Ignorance is this, and that's what he does. And by the way, Barry, you mentioned officials. I don't have anything to say on any of the officiating in NFL games this weekend and how stellar it has been. But that's something we can approach in hour number two because. Oh, my God. I told Nick.
Did I miss anything?
Oh, my God. I almost had three coronaries in my house yesterday. And I didn't have a sock, but I was ready to throw whatever
and
was within
Saturday
arm's reach.
Saturday went so well.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
Well, rough weekend
Feel free
for you.
To pile on Twitter, too.
Rough weekend for you.
Somebody check on Pac-Man Joel again. Jeez, I had more people checking on me than a freaking paramedic checking on a lady that has one of those quick call necklaces. All right, we're going to get to that in hour number two. Right now, I do want to tell you about the good friends at Fitz Roofing. Fantastic people doing great work in the Houston community. Fitz Roofing is not like those storm-chasing roofing companies that want your money up front so they can skip town, do shoddy work, or not finish the deal just so that you're left holding the bag and out a whole bunch of money without your roof being fixed. They are fantastic, fantastic roofers. They are a CertainTeed Select Shingle Master company, which only 1% of the roofers in the United States meet the criteria to obtain that status. And on top of that, they use CertainTeed shingles, which are the best in the business, and guarantee that your roof is going to be dry, safe, and last a long time. Their base warranty is longer than your average roofer can provide, and it just starts from there, and it goes on and on and on. They do an outstanding job on your roof. They care about you, and they care about the community. That's why they give 10% of their profits back through a nonprofit they created called Fitz for Families. That, exactly in a nutshell, is providing a roof replacement or repair for people that need it desperately but can't afford to pay for it. They just want to make sure they make a difference in the community that they live in and work in. They also have an A+ rating on the Better Business Bureau, 5-star ratings on Facebook and Home Advisor. I think with all that and all the quality work that people will attest to on their website, you'll find out there is only one choice in roofing, and it's Fitz Roofing. FITZroofing.com if you want to check it out on the internet. Or just give them a call, 832-521-3001, 832-521-3001. That is the easiest way to set up a free, no-obligation inspection today. They'll look at your roof. They'll tell you what they need to do. If you want them, call them. If they don't, hey, they tried to make a difference by showing you what they can do. Fitz Roofing, making a difference one home at a time.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.